Welcome to the Third Week of Lent podcast from Faith UCC in Dunedin, Florida. Listen to more of our podcasts on our website, faithucc.org. This week is Be Like Brit. Because there comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one.
So her name was Brittany Gengel, a 19-year-old, full of life, young woman from Massachusetts that was in her sophomore year at college here in Florida, in Boca Raton specifically, where she attended a small college there called Lynn University. And for the past several years, the college had partnered with a relief organization called Food for the Poor and offered Lynn University kids the chance to go to Haiti to work with the poorest of the poor and try to bring some compassion and food and goods to help help the people of what was and still is the most impoverished country in the Western Hemisphere. Brittany, young Brittany, who goes by Brit for short, missed out on going her first year in college, but several of her friends went, and they had such a powerful experience that they decided to go again. And Brit decided that year, the J term of January 2010, that she would not miss her chance. So off they went, this group from Lynn University, on their trip to Haiti. Now, Britt's parents, Len and Cheryl Ann, and her two brothers were back home in Massachusetts while she was there, eagerly and anticipating a call from Britt when she got settled in Haiti. They were an extremely close family, very tight family. Now, Cheryl Ann had gotten a text from Britt earlier in the day, a very excited text where she wrote this: "They love us so much, and everyone is so happy. They love what they have, and they work so hard to get nowhere, yet they are all so appreciative. I want to move here and start an orphanage myself. I already know this is what I want to do with the rest of my life." Then around 4 p.m. on this day, this is January 12, 2010, Cheryl Ann got that call from Britt that she was waiting for, and they talked for a while, and then they set another time to talk that night around 7 p.m. as Britt's group was going to dinner, and she wanted to go get a shower in and get ready. So she said, "We'll talk later." Their last words to each other as they joked about how they had, and they joked about how they had adopted the slang term of endearment, their last words were, "Love ya. Love ya, love ya." Now, knowing Britt was safe and having a great experience, Cheryl Ann started working on getting dinner ready for Len, her husband Len, and the boys. This was about 4:10 in the afternoon. Now, shortly after she hung up the phone with Britt, her sister-in-law Ruth called her a little after 5 p.m., and she told Cheryl Ann that she'd heard a breaking news about an earthquake that struck Haiti and was wondering about Britt. Was she okay? And Cheryl Ann said, "I just talked with her a few minutes ago, and she sounded terrific." She assured Ruth that all was good, and she hung up the phone. But more people started calling as the news of the earthquake spread. This was a big earthquake. And before long, she was starting to get a little nervous, calling her husband Len to come home. And then she called Britt's cell phone, and she left a message. No one picked up, and she waited, trying to tell herself that, of course, Britt's fine. Of course, she's fine. But there was a feeling in her, perhaps that only a mother can know of her child, that something just wasn't right. Something felt wrong. And that sinking feeling would be confirmed in the unfolding events of the coming days and weeks as this tight-knit family began to come to terms with the reality that their daughter and sister, Britt, was not among the survivors that escaped the Hotel Montana that day when the magnitude 7 earthquake collapsed almost all of it. And in all that concrete, rebar laid their daughter, Britt, a light to the world that was extinguished all too early. It would take some bold and courageous stands by Britt's father, Len, some intervention by some politicians like John Kerry and others. But 33 days later, On Valentine's Day, no less, Britt's body was finally pulled, 33 days, was finally pulled from the rubble of that hotel and returned to her family. They held a celebration of life for her, and then they sat down and began to discern, where'd they go now? A family of five, but suddenly now a family of four. Heartbroken, they searched for the next phase of their family journey. I want to share it with you in a video. I showed this about 2 years ago, but it's so moving that I've watched it 10 times, and I moved every single time I watch it. So I want to share this journey of how Be Like Britt came about.
I know that she's thrilled. I think that she is with us all the time. There are so many instances where you know that she's right there with us, and the fact that not only Be Like Britt, but the thousands of people that are helping the Be Like Britt Foundation, I think that she would think that was incredible, because we couldn't do this without the support of wonderful people, both emotionally, financially.
At 19, Brittany Gangle traveled to Haiti with her college, Florida's Lynn University, on a three-week humanitarian mission. She arrived in Port-au-Prince just one day before the 7-magnitude earthquake that devastated the country, killing an estimated 230,000 people. Brittany, three of her fellow students, and two professors were killed, crushed in the rubble of their hotel.
Brittany sent me this text just 3 hours before the earthquake. They love us so much, and everyone is so happy. They love what they have, and they work so hard to get nowhere, yet they are all so appreciative. I want to move here and start an orphanage myself.
There comes a time when we hit a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There dying.
Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all.
We can't go on pretending day by day
that someone somehow will soon make a
change. Be Like Britt has been built out of grief, out of love, and out of our family coming together to do something to honor Britt. And we have purchased land in Grand Guave, Haiti, where Britt in the Journey of Hope was supposed to travel the day after the earthquake. Call it serendipitous, call it divine intervention, but it's really where we wanted to honor her last wish and build an orphanage. We have been blessed with Paul Fallon of Trojung and Brennan, who has, with his team, designed a beautiful orphanage shaped in the letter B for Britt. My wife and I really believe that it needs to be symbolic of Britt, so we've designed it for 33 boys and 33 girls, symbolic of the 33 days Britt was missing in the rubble. We want to encompass all of those that gave their lives from Lynn University, and we will also honor the 8 that survived in our community room for the children.
Right now, they need a helping hand.
We are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's start giving.
Oh, there's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives.
It's true, we make a better day, just you and me.
When you're down and out, and there seems no hope at all.
But if you just believe, there's no way.
The raw reality is our daughter has passed. She's gone. And the day that our first child came into this orphanage, it was a bittersweet moment. It was just looking at this little boy that his aunt brought in and just
understanding that his life, as our lives have been changed forever, his life was going to be changed forever. And I looked down at him and, you know, I said, "Come on, yay," which is, "How are you?" And his first words to me were, grand goût, which is, I'm hungry. I just knew at that moment that Britt's spirit would live on helping these children. She would continue to be that voice that she was for those that did not have one.
Katie has a beautiful spirit. We just want to do our little part. It's important to us that the children have 3 meals a day, that they have an education, that they know that they're loved, and we want to give our new 66 children the same thing that we have given our own 3 children.
We're out on a visit in the community with some of the kids. It's really our responsibility to tell these children their stories and where they came from. And so by doing regular family visitation, it really keeps them engaged with the friends that they knew before they came in to be like Britt. We really want them to be well-rounded, patient citizens.
I've been one of the kids that wasn't, you know, have a family that was helping out, and then we got somebody in it that was helping out. Right now, I got an education, I can take care of myself, and we're hoping to do the same for all of those kids that we're supporting at the library.
But if you just believe, there's no way we can fall.
Our goal of self-sustainability is a challenge in Haiti because of the cost of electricity from EDH. We have designed 60 solar panels on this roof that would cover all the electricity needs here at Be Like Britt. And we've been totally blessed with so many people, whether it's someone sponsoring a child at $33 a month, or somebody who's sending clothing down or peanut butter down. Our whole lives is about how many hockey bags we can bring down with us on the next flight, because that's how we get the donated items back and forth into Haiti. So those are the challenges, but our goal is to be a self-sustaining orphanage, and once we have all our children sponsored, we will have attained that self-sustainment. So it's a very challenging goal, but yet one that is actual and that we can see us coming to the finish line. That's what's important to us. And so not only are we building children's lives here, we're building the community as well. And as I like to say to folks when they ask us, "Are you an adoptive orphanage?" And we're not. Our goal is crystal clear. Our goal is to raise the next generation of leaders in Haiti.
Anybody tell you can't do anything. Think about that. This man lost a daughter and he raised a self-sustainable eco bee out of the poorest nation in the world. It's incredible, isn't it? There's so much God in this story. Now, I wanted to tell you this story today for a couple of reasons. First is because I find this story incredibly heartbreaking and yet also amazingly inspiring. It's a story of faith, the faith that a family had in their vision of God, in which God would never leave them alone, but always there was that calming presence that welled up from within the depths of their despair as they walked this awful, awful path. And it's the absolutely best metaphor for God in our lives, the story and their journey. Something that Len wrote in a book that he wrote about this whole thing, this really moved me. He wrote this: "What frustrated me," this is after Britt's death, obviously, "what frustrated me and quite frankly drove me to the point of breaking for one of the few times during that 33-day ordeal was when well-meaning people outside of our family would tell us that God was the one who took her life from her. I never believed that for an instant. An earthquake took our daughter, not God. Maybe I was too sensitive and overreacted when I heard those words, but the God I worship doesn't do those kinds of things. I didn't spend a whole lot of time contemplating the whys of what happened to our daughter, those sometimes unfathomable questions that we all ask whenever some tragedy occurs. Mine wasn't to question or to give motives or explanations for what took place. I had to learn to quietly accept the reality and to make as much good from a horrible bad as possible. I mean, how often do we hear, you've all heard it, it's God's will. It's God's will, or it was meant to happen for this or that reason to bring about this or that purpose. I guess people find comfort in knowing that there is some kind of providential plan to thinking that this is all unfolding with God completely in control for some higher reason, whatever that is. I struggle with that. I struggle mightily with that kind of thought, but I can see how that is comforting. But that is not what Len and that Gangle family felt. They were more like the psalmist who composed that wonderful psalm that Peter read for us today. They lived this psalm where there's tumult upon the earth. The writer even mentions the earth shaking, earthquakes, and things are teetering out of control, and there's great pain unfolding. The song could be literal or it could be metaphorical. It really doesn't matter. Its message is clear. When there is pain, where there is pain, when your world is rocked like it was for the Gangle family, the mystery we call God is right there in the midst of it all, bringing peace, bringing stillness, and bringing courage into the midst of the suffering. I get the sense that that's what Len felt and Cheryl Ann and their family as they journeyed through those 33 days of unfathomable pain and anguish and afterwards into a new future. They took the situation that they found themselves in, though, one of the worst, and they looked for the good that could come out of it because they knew where they found the good, they found God. And they modeled, like that psalmist long ago, that it's in the pockets of pain and suffering when God's presence can shine the most in our lives if we will just let it, if we will just trust it. They never asked, where was God? They knew where God was all along, and it drove them courageously into an unexpected and unfolding future in which they, as Len said, could make as much good from a horrible bad as possible. And in the end, they lost a beloved daughter. But they gained 66 new kids whose lives they are changing forever in her name. What a story. What a story of faith. Second reason I'm telling you all of this today is because we are about to become a part of the story. We are about to become a part of it. In 2 weeks, seven of us from right here at Faith UCC will be taking a journey to that very place to walk through those very doors that be like Britt. The seven of us are Leslie Etheridge. And if I read your name off and you are here, please stand if you could. Fran Mitchell. There she is. Don Miller. Ellery. Elizabeth Cohn. Chuck Stiers. And me. On this journey that we are about to embark on, we'll learn more about this courageous and this God-infused story. And we will meet these children whose lives are being changed by this incredible organization started in Britt's memory and honor. And we'll meet those who are tending to their well-being and care and see how we, Faith UCC, can partner with them in their life-giving work. And I'll admit, I'm a little nervous and I'm excited to go all at the same time. Never mind that it's Master's Week. Put that aside. It's not important. I'm excited because I would get to see old friends. I was there a year and a half ago. See old friends I made when I was there. Excited because I get to see the kids that gave me all those hugs. Excited because I get to spend time among the incredible, great Haitian people. Don't listen to what individual number one says about them. But I'm nervous as well. Because every time I go on these trips, every time I go on them, the grinding poverty that we will witness is just so hard to take. You know, Haiti was and is, remains the most impoverished country in the Western Hemisphere, potentially in the world. Let that sink in. And we've been warned yet again that much of what we're going to see and experience will break our hearts, and that unfortunately there's little we can do. We're going to want to fix it, but we can't. We're going to give, but we can only give so much. We want to help, but it never seems to be enough. So I'm preparing to experience these feelings yet again. But I'm still excited. And even the Be Like Brit Orphanage, which is luxurious living, it's just like the Ritz-Carlton in Haiti, is not immune to the dire poverty. It is hard to get all those goods that they need to care for these 66 children. But in that reality is a challenge. And I want to bring that challenge before you today. You heard in the video about the hockey bags, right? The duffel bags that we're allowed to bring into the country. 150-pound bag per visitor. So again, we have 7 of us going on this trip, so we are hoping to bring 350 pounds, 7 bags of needed items and food for the kids in honor of Britt's memory and for those kids. And I know we can do this. I know we can do this. You heard from Lulu and Sophia Valentino about their passion in sorting and collecting these goods for the kids in Haiti, many of them their own age. Many of these kids, their own age. So my hope and the hope of the Haiti team is that you can respond by making them work even harder this week as they sort so many donations that they're overwhelmed. I know they can handle it. I know they can handle it. I know they're up for the challenge, and I know you are as well. The story of Britt and her parents and the building of the orphanage is really heartbreaking. It's a heartbreaking story full of loss and grief. A daughter was tragically lost, and a family was left to pick up the pieces. It's a story of a family for whom the earth literally did shake and took part of them in their wonderful daughter. Yet it's also a story of how this family faced that grief and rose up and transcended grief's crushing weight and began to dream a new future in memory of their daughter's dream. And they literally rose, a giant bee, out of the ground in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, in which to give life to orphaned children who didn't have a chance at all. And they did this with the trust that God was there with them on this journey, in their work, in their grief, and in the hope for their future in building Britt's dream. It's an amazing story, and we are about to become a part of it. Amen.